1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Switzerland's beleaguered Credit Suisse Bank has a buyer.
Deposits in Credit Suisse now on a much firmer footing with the announcement of a purchase of the Swiss bank by larger rival UBS. Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley, with why the news is reassuring on this side of the Atlantic.
What that does is reinstill confidence that we're not going to have a major banking event in the Eurozone. And if we can avoid that, we can likely avoid worries about contagion in the U.S. banking system.
Big picture, Hogan doesn't see systemic problems.
There are thousands of regional banks. We found three that were in trouble.
Saying the Swiss deal should give investors more confidence in the banking system as we begin a new week. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday and spend at least 2 days in Moscow. The world watching to see what comes of the meetings between the two leaders. Xi's government has not said what it hopes to accomplish, while Putin will likely seek support for his war effort in Ukraine. This is ABC News. The parents of a 20-year-old college wrestler in Kentucky who died of heat stroke has settled with the University of the Cumberlands for more than $14 million. The family's attorney says Grant Brace desperately tried to get water.
He was found collapsed nearby, not far from a shut-off water fountain.
He was on all fours, and he had dug his hands in the dirt.
Brace's parents accusing two coaches at the University of the Cumberlands in Kentucky of denying him water after a so-called punishment practice of sprinting up and down a hill with steep incline 7 times, according to the lawsuit.
Ultimately, it killed him.
In their lawsuit against the school, Brace's family claims the coaches in the wrestling room yelled at fellow student athletes who tried to provide him water, insisting Grant needed to get the water himself.
That's ABC's M. Nguyen. Scientists say they believe mysterious streaks of light that were seen in the sky over Northern California on Friday were burning up remains of space junk jettisoned from the ISS 3 years ago. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Both the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court are defending some past choices. Dan Kelly advised Republicans on legal efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential race. He tells up front he did not talk to them about fake electors.
There are some media reports suggesting that I was in the middle of this idea of bringing these alternate slate of electors, when the testimony is I was not even in the loop.
Janet Protasiewicz is under fire for giving some light sentences as a Milwaukee County judge. Kelly and Protasiewicz will debate tomorrow night. That debate will be broadcast on many Civic Media radio stations tomorrow night. In sports, the Wisconsin women's hockey team are the national champions. They beat Ohio State in yesterday's title game. The Badger men's basketball team plays on in the NIT. They're at Oregon for the quarterfinals tomorrow night. Marquette's season is over. They lost yesterday to Michigan State. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Who's aware of the media, you maybe wouldn't serve your state senator up on a platter.
Scobity boom boom, scobity dum.
What? Oh, ah. Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. What would be your reaction if Donald J. Trump actually gets arrested this week? 844-967-2789. Now, I have no idea whether or not it's going to happen. I don't know if he knows whether or not it's going to happen, but over the weekend, he seemed very convinced that it was going to happen and would like people to come to his defense.
Right.
And so, Jane, what would your reaction be if Trump does get arrested this week?
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this over the weekend. It would be difficult not to dance. Yeah, I just, you know, there's just a lot of pent up dance moves, I think, that people have after the years of enduring this. But just because he's arrested doesn't mean that anything's going to happen. You know,
that
doesn't
is true.
Doesn't mean he's going to get convicted.
Nope.
So I think, you know, any celebrating needs to be put on hold.
Yes. Lines are open. What would your reaction be if Trump gets arrested this week? 844-967-2789. We already got a comment on our Facebook live stream, which you are welcome to join and watch us ever, if you would like, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. But Jeff Carter says it would be a good start.
It would be a start, yes, because I think a lot of people feel like Donald Trump has a long history of getting away with things.
Teflon Don.
Mm-hmm. Nothing sticks.
I put this out on Twitter this morning, and it's I put it as a poll. So I gave people options instead of just giving their blanket response.
Okay.
And I gave the four options I gave were anger, glee, an eye roll, or other. Anger. This probably is more of an insight into what kind of person follows me on As Goes Wisconsin. 0%.
Zero anger. Yay.
And so glee, 55% so far. Eye roll, 27%. Other, 18%.
So the glee is strong.
Glee is strong.
Glee is strong.
I got one comment saying, it won't help him, but I don't think it will hurt him either. He has his base, and they don't care what he does. And then another comment saying a mix of satisfaction and fear, satisfied that he's finally being held to account for his lawlessness and fearful of the thought of what his supporters might do. And also on the Facebook live stream, Christine Salm just said, I'm worried about MAGA's reaction, which he tried to incite over the weekend. And so this all, you know, I think some people who've been following this much more closely than I, because I have to say I'm in the eye roll category of I don't have a strong reaction until there's something that feels more completed. It just doesn't feel like something to get. I don't even think excited as well, because it's also just still sad.
Yes.
It's sad that this person who is, to use the word of someone who said lawless, was our president and is running for president again. And there's this many people who support him, and there's this many people who are, this is political. And maybe it is somewhat political. My brother's prediction over the weekend, because we were up in Rapids as a family, was that if he, in this deal, if he gets arrested, that the deal that could get struck is don't run for president. We'll make this all go away if you just go away.
Really?
That's his guess. I have no idea.
But that's only New York. He still has problems in Georgia.
Oh, he has problems in Georgia. He has problems with the DOJ. Like, there is other things.
Right.
But regardless, this is part of his all caps Truth Social post. I don't know how to perform at all caps.
It's
because I don't know what word to put the emphasis on.
It's just all loud. Just when you hear it, as you're listening, just hear it loudly.
Now, illegal leaks from a corrupt and highly political Manhattan district attorney's office, which has allowed new records to be set in violent crime and whose leader is funded by George Soros, indicate that with no crime being able to be proven and based on an old and fully debunked by numerous other prosecutors fairy tale, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America will be arrested on Tuesday of next week. Protest, take back our nation. There's two pieces of punctuation in that. There's one period and one exclamation point.
So we pretty much know that he actually did write that.
He did write that.
Yeah, yeah. How would he know?
Well, he doesn't, because it's unclear. A representative for Trump later clarified that he had received no notification from authorities that this was happening, and a grand jury hearing evidence is still set to hear testimony from, is yet to be set, and because there's still one other witness that they need to hear from. So there's a bunch of unclear information. So I kind of saw some of these FAQs as far as when will he be indicted. It's unclear.
Right.
I could imagine Trump created an artificial, this is happening on Tuesday, to create urgency. And I mean, because I do think the Manhattan Police Department is on alert of people flooding Manhattan for this week in case this happens.
Right.
But the Manhattan grand jury hearing the case still has at least one more witness to hear, and they're hearing them today. And so they could vote on charges as soon as today. It could also come later than tomorrow.
Right. I think he did this over the weekend to see what kind of reaction he would get.
Of course.
To see how many people would come out, to see if he can still mobilize people, you know, at the drop of a hat. And that did not happen. People did not flood into Manhattan this weekend.
They did not.
No. There was on Twitter over the weekend, and I can't remember who I was following, but someone had photos of all these patriots and their Trump flags, and that was actually before the election. Those photos were from before the election.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
Yeah, so no, there was not a big...
Man, what do you think would hurt worse for Trump, if he got arrested this week or if no one protested over his arrest?
Oh, that would hurt.
Which one do you think he'd be more irate about?
I think the no one showing up.
I think no one showing up.
Yep. Yep, because he really believes that he can summon a mob like he did on January 6th and have them do his bidding for him. And I think, especially after the arrests of, what is it, 1,000 people now have been arrested and charged in connection with January 6th. And the former president has not paid any of their legal bills.
Nope.
He has not visited them in the D.C. jail where they're being held. And I think his ability, again, to summon the mob to do his dirty work for him may not be so successful anymore.
Yeah. There's so many different parts of this, largely because this is the first time in modern history that a former president is facing criminal charges. The only other time Ulysses Grant was briefly detained for speeding in a horse-drawn carriage in 1872.
What?
And that's it.
They had horse speed limits?
I guess, which feels arbitrary. But this is so unprecedented as far as how do you even, at all the different levels and state, like the State Department of Justice's, the DOJ, like, how do you handle this of a former president who is running again, not for it to be seen as political? Because I know Pence was on the rounds for Breitbart and he was on the Sunday shows talking about how this is political. So he's still talking out of both sides of his mouth since he obviously is also like on the brink of running for president, but like can't decide who his target audience is if he's still trying to ingratiate himself into Trump voters.
The ones who
wanted to hang him.
Yeah, the ones who wanted to hang you, Mike.
But then also doesn't take a strong enough stance of anti-Trump to ingratiate himself to people who are over Trump. So it's like, you're dead in the water, man. Yeah. I don't know what angle you're doing.
I agree.
But I think it was interesting because I got this from a friend who, this goes back to the original question. What will your reaction be if Trump gets arrested this week? And this was forwarded to me coming from it wasn't my friend, but my friend got it from someone who was a political strategist trying to spread the word as far as the appropriate reaction to this. And so this is what that piece of information said. Do not gloat. Do not celebrate. Do not joke or tweet funny gifs. Be better than that. Be everything the GOP would not be if Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi were arrested. Be about community, not chaos, and I would post this. Quote, this is a somber day for America, a day to put our faith in our country's judicial system. Like all defendants charged with serious crimes, Donald Trump deserves every protection provided to him by the Constitution and due process under the law. As that process unfolds, let us neither celebrate nor destroy, and let us remember that justice benefits us all. So I think that's the reaction I'm going to take, because that sounds nice.
We do have a text from the 262. I plan to grab popcorn and bathe in the tears of a million red hat wearing bigots.
But I think that's, and it's does that solve anything? Like in the moment of feeling better, because this guy has caused so much chaos and so much pain and so much division in our country. And there's arguments on whether that was always there and he just exploited it versus he created it himself. But he's certainly causation, correlation. He's not innocent in the fact of where we are in our partisan turmoil right now.
Exactly.
And he continues to try to exploit that for his own gain. I mean, this is just the biggest narcissist alive. So I'm taking the side of I will not gloat. I will not celebrate. What will your reaction be if Trump does get arrested this week? 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I fought the law.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project.
transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 39 this afternoon under overcast skies, northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 25. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 37. Cloudy skies expected. Mixed precipitation possible at times Wednesday and Thursday. Upper 40s Wednesday, low 40s by Thursday. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are asking you the question of what will your reaction be if Donald Trump indeed gets arrested this week? 844-967-2789. And we have someone on the call.
Paul from Franklin is joining us. Paul, what do you want to say?
Hi. I don't think he will be arrested just because I feel like we've heard this so many times over the years.
Fair.
I want it to happen, mind you. But yeah, I'm just very skeptical just because there seems to have been a million cases that should have happened. But if he were to, yeah, I'd be happy. I don't think it really changes the outcome of the presidential election, really. If he's still able to run, this will just enable his base more. But as someone who usually votes with like leftist candidates, it's kind of nice to see the GOP in a civil war. It's been making leftist candidates look really good. So I'm all for the Trump-DeSantis fight, even as it is ugly and terrible for democracy, but at least it boosts a lot of progressive candidates, I think, in the long run.
It makes the progressives look a little bit more united and pulled together.
Yeah, and just, I guess, not insane.
Not insane, yes.
We are the party that is not insane. I think that's a slogan that we can work with, Paul.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
Definitely, yeah. And I think it's really helped Wisconsin politics, too, just even looking at, like, the state Supreme Court election coming up and all that.
Absolutely. I mean, I was saying that in the primary for the Supreme Court of just how messy and how, like, public the right-wing radio hosts and the media and the campaigns. And just I was like, this seems like something you're supposed to do behind doors. This
right?
does not seem something you want all of us to be able to witness. But
Republicans in disarray.
Thanks so much for the call, Paul. The DeSantis thing is really interesting because what I understand, if this goes down, this is not going to be like a perp walk situation.
Probably not.
What I have heard in trying to read about this morning and hearing things over the weekend is that it would be a voluntary surrender.
So you show up at the cop shop and right?
And then everything would be happen very quickly.
Right.
I think in general, everyone involved wants to keep this out of the public eye as much as possible for safety reasons.
Sure.
Because of protests and everything. But what's interesting is what happens, like DeSantis, because Trump lives in Florida, DeSantis plays an interesting role in this. And this is the same thing, like when the FBI raided Mar-a-Lago, Didn't DeSantis have to sign off on that to happen?
I would assume so.
And so in this kind of FAQ that I found this morning, could DeSantis block Trump from being arrested? Experts cited by Insider note that while DeSantis could possibly delay Trump's extradition, his approval is really an administrative formality, and he wouldn't be able to totally stop the ex-president from being charged. So, but I also feel like I heard something this morning that he might have to be, like, if Trump does not voluntarily turn himself in, that, like, DeSantis could get wrapped in trying to...
extradition.
Yeah.
It'll be extradition. However... the Herald Tribune reporter, Zach Anderson, this morning reporting that DeSantis won't intercede, quote, "We are not going to be involved in it in any way," unquote. DeSantis also told reporters, quote, "I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over an alleged affair. I can't speak to that," unquote.
But I like that. That's his defense. He's like, I wouldn't know anything about it.
I don't know how that works. It's not me.
I've never done that. I didn't do that. I have no idea how one would even do that.
Yeah. I don't know the workings, but he basically said he's not going to intercede on Trump's behalf, which is he's playing a really interesting game, man.
That's been his MO this entire since his rise. Because this is the guy who his entire first. I don't know if it was his first campaign TV ad, but it was one of certainly his most famous.
Oh, yeah.
Back in 2018, was just licking the boots of Donald Trump of how much they was talking about building the wall and all of this stuff. And then basically as he rose through COVID and lockdowns and his popularity soared, he has walked this line of being as... divisive and strong, if you want to use that word, and conservative on some of these issues without making a peep or any opinion whatsoever about Trump, and is just like not answer the questions, which will be fascinating if and once he announces his run, because he can't do that forever.
Well, he curates his audiences pretty closely. He really does. Ron doesn't like to take questions from non-friendly sources.
No, I know, but that's what I mean. It's one thing to do it now. I mean, he also is the governor who's trying to cripple the First Amendment so he can also go after media companies who write things he doesn't like. So, of course, he's also in the business of, I'm going to only answer the questions from the people that I would like to talk to.
Yeah.
But... if he's going to run for president, that's not going to work.
He can. I mean, they'll try to shield him as long as they can. You would think he would get called out at some point, but I don't know.
No, I mean, there's no way. There's no way that he could run for president and keep this like block and tackle game up that he's doing as far as like the full court like press. To use a basketball analogy, that happens with the media with a presidential run, like he's going to get exposed if he can't handle the heat. I feel like there's a lot of mixed metaphors in there. It's Monday morning.
It's a mixed metaphor kind of Monday.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, if you still time, if you would like to let us know how you would react if Trump gets elected this week, 844-967-2789.
Arrested.
We are going to move on after that unless we get some more callers. Is it ever okay to strip search a minor? I say no. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Switzerland's beleaguered Credit Suisse bank has a buyer.
Deposits in Credit Suisse now on a much firmer footing with the announcement of a purchase of the Swiss bank by larger rival UBS. Art Hogan, chief market strategist at B. Riley, with why the news is reassuring on this side of the Atlantic.
What that does is reinstill confidence that we're not going to have a major banking event in the Eurozone. And if we can avoid that, we can likely avoid worries about contagion in the U.S. banking system.
Big picture, Hogan doesn't see systemic problems.
There are thousands of regional banks. We found three that were in trouble.
Saying the Swiss deal should give investors more confidence in the banking system as we begin a new week. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin Monday and spend at least 2 days in Moscow. The world watching to see what comes of the meetings between the two leaders. Xi's government has not said what it hopes to accomplish, while Putin will likely seek support for his war effort in Ukraine. This is ABC News.
Unthawed or thawed? These are the questions the Krebscast will cover every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Can you just pull them brats out of the freezer? That'd be fantastic.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking property owners to keep an eye out for spongy moth eggs this spring. Look for tan lumps about the size of a nickel or a quarter on trees or on buildings. Formerly known as gypsy moths, spongy moths are an invasive species which kill trees by eating all the leaves. The DNR expects an outbreak is likely to continue and that the moths will keep spreading. The National Club Curling Championships wrapped up this weekend in Washington. 24 teams from across the country took part in the games. New York winning first place in the women's competition. Colorado took home the prize for the men. And the Wisconsin women's hockey team are the national champions after defeating Ohio State in Sunday's title game. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're gonna amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matnair. It is the first day of spring.
Officially.
Officially. It is also Peter Bry's birthday, so happy birthday to my dad.
Happy birthday, Dad.
We have a great show still coming up. Dan Egan, who was a journalist with Journal Sentinel for, I think, like 20 years, he has a new book called The Devil's Element, which is not, it sounds like a great title for a novel.
It does.
It is not a novel. It is about phosphorus. And so we're going to be talking about, he also had a New York Times bestseller about the Great Lakes.
Yes.
And so he's an environmentalist journalist, and he's been a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize twice. Like, he is an accomplished journalist, and he's somehow made phosphorus very interesting. So we're going to be talking to him at 12:30.
I have a special song just for him.
Oh, wow. I can't wait to see his reaction. But right now we are still talking about what would your reaction be. What will your reaction be if Trump indeed gets arrested this week? And we have another caller.
Stephen from Green Bay checking in at 844-967-2789. What do you got, Stephen?
Hey, Kristen.
I think I have a pretty unique viewpoint of this. So I'm going to lay this out. First of all, I think Trump announced via Truth Social that this was going to happen, not because he knew, because we already know that he doesn't really know. It's more foreshadowing than anything else. But I think he said it for two reasons. Reason number one being, you know it's going to rile up his base, and I think he wants to see how many people come up for him. But also, I think he was trying to get the Manhattan DA to come out and say something about it to kind of confirm or deny that this was going to happen. And we know that they're going to keep their mouths sealed on this, as they should. But let's say he does get arrested tomorrow. First of all, if I'm the Manhattan DA and he's coming out and saying, I'm going to arrest you, or I think I'm getting arrested on Tuesday, I'm going to postpone that. I don't want him to be expecting when we're going to do this to him. And more importantly, if this does happen, even though it is unprecedented, we know that just because you get hauled off to jail, that doesn't mean you're criminally charged.
Yep.
And it doesn't really hurt his presidential run that much. But what we need to take away from this, I think, and it is really important, is that for the first time, you know, we on the left are going to have really a chance when it comes to Donald Trump to not echo the hatred and the disgusting garbage that the right echoes on a daily basis. And we're really going to be held to a higher account as Democrats because we speak against this. Well, now it's our turn, time to act against it as well and show that we don't just talk about being peaceful and better, but we actually are. And that's, I think, the biggest test for the Democratic Party and us as Democrats coming out of this.
So you're on the side of the advice that was sent to me as far as do not gloat, do not celebrate. If anything, this is a somber day, and we need to let the Justice Department and justice to unfold.
Exactly. Yes.
Then we are in agreement, Stephen. Thank you so much for the call. And I get the impulse. I get the impulse after everything to want to see Donald Trump be held to account. I also think it's doesn't help us move forward if we do a little dance and make a little love.
And get down tonight.
And get down tonight. Also, we had another comment that I hadn't even thought of, because if you think about in the wide world of allegations and charges and investigations for Donald Trump, someone said if when Trump is arrested, he'll have his DNA cheeks swabbed. The DNA sample rape accuser E. Jean Carroll has been waiting for.
And that trial is next month. That trial starts next month.
That is one that I have totally lost sight of.
Yep.
That is also an interest. Because that's the thing that's kind of wild. Out of all the things he's ever done, he's never been arrested.
Right.
And so there is no DNA on file.
Right.
And so you had already been thinking about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Because I knew that I knew the E. Jean Carroll trial was coming in April. And so he's got a whole bunch of trouble in the next couple of months. But I think, too, as your friend said, let's be better.
Yeah.
Than the other side, because there's this right-wing broadcaster who now is calling for Barack Obama to be executed.
What?
Yes.
For what?
If Trump gets arrested, Pete Santilli says the U.S. military should execute former President Barack Obama, former Attorney General Eric Holder, and former National Security Advisor Susan Rice.
Just because?
I guess.
Is like retribution?
Apparently. He wants the military to take action.
Because those two things are totally equal.
Well, yeah. And this is another quote. I just want to get this in here. Quote, and ultimately we absolutely demand that the criminals in this country, if you want them held accountable, the criminals are Barack Obama, Eric Holder, Susan Rice, this entire criminal cabal that came about as a result of the murder of John F. Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh.
The people that perpetrated the murder of John F. Kennedy, rise up to that.
This is a right-wing is he a radio show host?
Yeah. Right-wing broadcaster Pete Santilli.
How many followers does he have?
I'm afraid to find out.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's an audience
for those
people.
There's an audience.
There's an audience for those people. People listen to those people. So my point is, let's not be that.
Yeah.
Let's not be calling for the execution of fellow Americans. That has been some of the most disturbing aspects of all of this to me since Trump, was the relish that some people have in attacking fellow Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really disturbing.
And that's where I fall, is just the idea, the constant, you know, libtards, everyone on this side is this, everyone on this side is that, and just bucketing people together and not allowing any kind of nuance or conversation. Like, that is, I tried to watch Bill Maher. I used to love watching Bill Maher.
And so did I.
He's been doing his show that he's has on HBO for like 20 years
now.
Isn't
that crazy?
Because he basically got that show after he was politically incorrect, got canceled because he was fairly politically incorrect after 9/11. But he pretty quickly got the HBO show and has been doing it for a very long time. And I used to love watching that show. And I tried watching this past Friday's episode, and he is just... You know, I think he kind of prides himself on being able to be objective in both sides and all this stuff. And he had all this, everything came back to like woke. Woke this, woke that, and it's too far, and try and like goad his, it was Andrew Yang and a representative, congresswoman from Michigan who's going to run for Senate, but I'm blanking on her name. And, you know, both people who are either Democrats or at one point were a Democrat. And he kept trying to like goad them into like, admitting the wokeism has gone too far. And it was just like, this is, and still the progressives, the left, and like bucketing people again. And I was like, oh, this is like almost unwatchable.
He's become the get off my lawn guy.
Yeah.
I think he has.
He's always been pompous and he's always been smug.
Arrogant, yes.
But it was still, there was points that I feel like that used to resonate with me more versus now. I think it's still a good show because he does get good panelists on there, but I think it's less. I think he makes it less interesting at this point.
Dear HBO, keep the show, lose the bill.
Yes. Anyways, moving on. This feels very obvious to me, but when is it ever okay to strip search minors?
Yeah, that seems like you shouldn't do that,
especially school administrators and not police. And so the original story of why there is now a bipartisan bill that is looking to expand, this is in Wisconsin, that's looking to expand the definition of what a illegal student strip search is happening. And it's from a story that happened over a year ago now. And so do you remember this story?
I do. It was it about vape cartridges or something?
Yes. It was like nicotine vape cartridges, and the principal at Surine High School, Kelly Casper, who has since resigned, in February 2022, had six girls stripped down to their underwear, and she was searching for vaping cartridges. Which is like, at that point, if you assume that they have, isn't this, I mean, I've talked a lot on this show as far as parental, the overreach of the argument of parental rights when it comes to, well, I don't want my kid reading this book, so no one can read this book,
right?
Or pronouns and stuff like that. But this, I can definitely, it's like, let your parents deal. If you suspect that they are vaping, tell their parents. Do not strip search them. But what's wild is that what is actually the definition now of an illegal strip search for students, it's only illegal if you touch their genitals, their buttocks, or their breast.
So you can still make them take their clothes off.
You can, as of right now, you can still make them take their clothes off. And so this is a bipartisan bill that's been introduced that I think, you know, there's far and in between ones that could actually get support from both sides, actually get signed, because this feels like a no-brainer. And that would basically say that you, I think, where's the actual definition of what it was? This is from, I lost my spot as far as reading what the change would be, but I think that what the change would be is that you can't make them strip down to their underwear, which seems obvious to me as far as a school administrator, if anything, like if they had guns or if there was like a weapon, but especially for drugs and you have no real besides a suspicion, like this feels like something that should never be appropriate.
They can pat them down though, can't they? I mean, if you suspect that a student is carrying a weapon, you have to touch them.
Yeah, but that's different, isn't it? I mean, patting them down is different than having them stripped down to their underwear.
Yes.
And so Christine Salm just on the Facebook Live just weighed in. Never. If it's for drugs or vape pens, never if it's for drugs or vape pens, but law enforcement should be able to search for weapons with good cause, but that should never require strip search, ever. A strip search of a child should never happen. LE should be
law
able to
enforcement.
Law enforcement should be able to search for weapons with cause, but even a strip search isn't necessary. And that I totally agree with that.
I can't imagine being a parent and finding out that my child had been forced to strip down to their underwear. I really can't.
I mean, and, you know, obviously with good reason that she was the student, the parents that were involved were outraged,
right.
And there were suits filed against this woman, but because of what the legal definition was,
it was okay.
It was okay. And so this feels like something that is a no-brainer. And hopefully, I think it's getting a hearing either this week or next week, and we'll hopefully move forward because this feels, I remember when this broke last year, and it was
too.
A really big deal because it was, I think everyone was like, wait, what?
You can do that?
Yes.
Yes. I think people were surprised that that was even allowed.
So, I don't know if I have anything more. That was just, I saw that last week as far as a bipartisan bill, and this just felt so obvious to me.
Isn't it nice that we can actually agree on something? That's remarkable. We should shoot up rockets or something. When is the last time our Wisconsin legislature has ever agreed on anything?
It was funny because that was actually the thesis of my video for Journal Sentinel that will come out this week, which was basically like, finally something we can agree on. And I listed out all the things that are topical right now as far as what we're fighting over, Supreme Court justice, the Brewers and what kind of funding they're going to get, abortion access, like the EPA's new standards for forever chemicals, all this stuff. But I got to the end and I said, but one thing I think almost all of us can agree on is we have enough drama in our politics and would like less drama in our football. So number 12, thanks for the memories. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. All right, we'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
At George Chambers Septic in Green Bay, we admire our area veterans. Whether they served in World Wars, Korea, or the Middle East, we know they deserve our compassion, especially those suffering from PTSD. Let's honor our vets by hiring them as they honored our country by serving it. At George Chambers Septic in Green Bay, we believe no veteran should struggle to make a decent living, and we honor all of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice in service to our nation. George Chambers Septic has been serving the community now for more than 35 years.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child.
it'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at LLS.org.
Here's your updated forecast. High of 39 this afternoon under overcast skies, northwesterly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 25. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 37. Cloudy skies expected. Mixed precipitation possible at times Wednesday and Thursday. Upper 40s Wednesday, low 40s by Thursday. A dusting of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 40.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
At WAUKradio.com.
A little bird, he told me so. He said, come on, get on the go. Open your eyes, the sky is full of butterflies. The blossoms on the trees stirred up the honeybees. Spring makes my fever rise.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And it is the first day of spring, according to science. But is it, has spring actually sprung? Is the better question. What has to happen for you to think that spring is actually here? 844-967-2789. Because it is. The spring equinox.
It is. It doesn't actually kick in. I think it's like 4:24 this afternoon, a little bit later on today. But yeah.
I mean, it's nice out today. It's almost 40 degrees.
Little chilly, little breeze. The wind is cold.
The wind is cold. It was pretty cold over the weekend.
Yes, it was.
Cliff pooped in the house because he did not want to poop outside because it was too cold. it's the vernal equinox. Which is the fancy way of saying it's the first day of spring. And I guess, you know, for some people, and I think depending on where you live, apparently in D.C., the cherry blossoms are out.
Oh, nice.
Which I think for them...
Is the sign. That's the official...
D.C. is also a little further south than us, so I think their winters, having lived there for one winter, where there was 3 inches of snow in the entire...
Was it just traumatic?
Not for me.
No, I'm sure, but for the city. Yeah.
I mean, because it was all the commuters. I mean, that was a day where I feel like it was one of those stories where people were stuck on the interstate for like 13 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And I remember because I was living in like dorms in the heart of DC. So I got to take the public transportation to and from my internship. And I remember walking around being like, this is
nothing.
And I had been living in California at that point. It's still like that. Wisconsin roots were still there. I was like, this is not that bad. But for some people, it was very bad. But yes, in D.C., the cherry blossoms are in full force. Obviously, commercials for the Masters are running alongside the March Madness. I don't know if anyone's seen any robins pop up yet, but I feel like that's always a sign for some people is when they start to see the first robins show up. What's a sign of spring for you?
So I have... a bunch of daffodils, and one particular little bunch was given as a gift by a girlfriend, and they bloom first.
Before tulips?
Yeah, daffodils are first.
Okay.
And actually, hyacinths are probably first, and gladiolas, things like that.
You need to talk to my mom about these things.
I know.
I don't know. I know what daffodils look like. I know what tulips look like.
Other than
I
that,
don't know the other two you just
okay.
said.
Okay, well, we'll get you there.
Okay.
But so when this little bunch of daffodils blooms, that for me, then it's official.
Okay.
And we're probably, maybe we're a week away.
Okay.
They bloom kind of early, this little bunch
how
does.
How long do they last then? Because I feel like what happens if they all die, if there's another snowstorm after that?
Well, it would not be good.
Because I feel like that, I've seen my mother have... very concerned nights where the tulips have blossomed.
And then it's going to freeze.
It's going to freeze and she has to like cover them or she does whatever she can to protect them.
You have to put a blanket over them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's very concerned.
Well, tragically, they don't bloom long anyway, you know?
Yeah.
That's the cycle of life. But for me, that is when those daffodils bloom, even if it snows and even if it's still going to get cold, we're heading in the right direction.
I don't know.
The right way.
I feel like I don't know what my sign is. It does not feel like winter is over yet. I feel like I've not tricked myself into thinking that it's going to be you know, in the 60s consistently anytime soon.
Probably not.
That's where I feel like it starts to feel like when you don't have to wear your heavy coat, when you put the heavy coat away is when it feels like spring is here.
Yeah.
And I would say my sleeping bag coat is still out in case.
We probably have another month at the sleeping bag coat.
What is it supposed to be this week? Because it's almost 40 today.
Yeah, I mean, in the 40s, but still, you know, when I left this morning, it was in the 30s. It was cold. It was still chilly. It wasn't 30 below.
Which is great.
Which is wonderful.
Besides Christmas, we didn't get almost any days this winter that were 30 below.
This was not a terrible winter.
No. Really, February and March were way worse than December and January. But yeah, this whole week is basically between the, it's supposed to be the high of day is 47.
Almost 50 degrees.
Almost 50.
That's crazy.
And tomorrow's 46. This is for Southeast Wisconsin. This is Milwaukee. Looks like rain on Wednesday and Thursday, but still in the 40s. And then even this weekend, 45 and 48 as of right now. So.
And I checked the forecast too for like Oshkosh and Amory and other places where we have homes. And even for them, it's going to be, I think, in the low 40s.
I just want some. I'm ready for summer.
Are you?
I'm ready for the consistent. You don't have to think about what you're wearing when you walk outside barefoot. What did you say your favorite season is?
I like fall.
You like fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like fall's fine. I love summer. And so I'm ready for heat and warmth and
a pedicure.
Shorts. And, you know, I really need one of those.
That's why we can wait a little bit for the sandals phase, because my toes are just not there yet.
Yeah. Is that the first sign of spring, is when you finally get a pedicure?
Yes. And then I go apologize to the woman, say, I know it's terrible. It's bad. Then I tip really well.
You're like, thank you for the extra love on those little piggies. All right. Well, coming up in the next hour, we touched on this a little bit last week when we talked to Wendy Strout, but I feel like it was worth a little bit more attention on our neighbors to the east, Michigan.
Yes.
And the real life case study of what can happen to a purple state once they get fair maps.
Meaning get rid of the gerrymander.
Which means get rid of their gerrymander, because they, like us, were gerrymandered. And so many states. I mean, so many states in 2010, depending on which party had control of the legislature, gerrymandered the crap out of their state.
Pretty much.
And some states made an effort because they saw how badly it happened to adopt fair maps. Some did not. We are one that did not, where Michigan did. And we're going to go have more details as far as, since their new maps were instated, what their new legislature looks like and what they've been able to pass within the first 2 months of their session. Now, you may not agree with it. They may be, and like this could come back to bite them in the butt, because the Democrats don't have huge majorities.
No, they don't.
But as far as how quickly things can change when things become more representative, I feel like it's worth talking about, because often we talk about these in such abstracts when we talk about gerrymandering.
Sure.
Because in Wisconsin right now, 15 days is the Wisconsin Supreme Court election, and that is our best chance, if we elect Janet Protasiewicz, to potentially have a court case that goes up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court that could overturn our current maps and get us to the point where we have fair maps, and it would be great. Come back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's spring fever time. Spring fever. Watch that fever come.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.